It's 3:30 on June the 27th, Sunday afternoon. We're in the yard of Melba and Bob Underwood in Ghent, near Beckley, West Virginia. My name is Ted Eldon. This is a group of the Truth Seekers meeting. We're going to talk about how to become a sovereign and to step away from and separate from all the government and all the political forces around us. My friend, today we have here Ollie and Dreema and Darius and Bob and Melba Underwood and Gary and Judith and Ted Eldon and Judy as well and Trish. Thank you. My friend Darius has done, several of us were aware of these things before and we had background information on some of these subjects, but Darius has found an excellent website which I believe is called FreeAmericaNow.com, and he's been even talking by phone to a fellow named Bob. Darius and I are going to try to lay down some general fundamentals of what's going on here. Bob himself has taken phone calls and given us more articulation, but even from their website where you can download these forms, their greetings and welcome to the road to sovereignty, that file alone pretty much says what you're supposed to do. If you can read, think, and learn and act, you can be free. Why does one want to be a sovereign? Let's just talk about that for a minute, then we'll get into the forms.
Basically, sovereignty is something that we effectively should already have from our Creator and at birth. And it's something that has been gradually taken away from us over decades or maybe hundreds of years through mislegislation, misinformation, fraudulent acts. And there's a lot of people around the world right now that are researching ways of undoing that mess. I believe we found something here that is probably the best thing I've seen, the most simplistic.
Let's just look at a couple of the items. Do you want to talk about 1933 and H.R.
192? Okay, that is a bill that was passed
Well, what was the problem? FDR declared...
We were bankrupt as a nation, so we declared bankruptcy. They took away all the gold and silver. We no longer have a way to pay our bills. So they had to figure out a remedy to keep from getting charged with treason.
Right. The congressmen and senators who set up the bankruptcy of America would have been charged by treason by McFadden, a congressman.
Correct.
But he set up this H.R. 192, which in fact has expired recently.
It expired in one...
The principles are still in place, wherein we do not have real money backed by precious gold and silver as defined by the Constitution. We have these Federal Reserve notes. And this puts us in as debtors to the bankruptcy. But
correct.
We can separate ourselves from the bankrupt U.S. government and become sovereigns in our own right.
Through properly filing a UCC statement, you can undo that and turn that over. And you become you get in the driver's seat by becoming the creditor. Once that's done, and again, we're still researching the details of that, but once that's done, you can discharge your debts. In other words, instead of paying them off, because it's not possible to do that anyway, it's basically bookkeeping entries, and that's done through a process that they're calling A for V or accepted for value, and it's done all the time in banks. People do it all the time, but you didn't know it.
Basically, you have a bill, you sign it in your own name, and you send it for the U.S. Treasury to pay the bill for you. And
exactly.
You're done with
That's correct. That's after you've become the creditor. Okay.
In our effort to obtain our own sovereignty in the public record and as a challenge against any political jurisdiction, city, county, state, federal government, none of their public policies, which we thought were laws but are only public policies, can interact with a sovereign. In order to do that, we're going to file a UCC-1, its paperwork, which is involved with the Universal Commercial Code. And there are other paperwork. There is other paperwork also to be included, a common law copyright on your name and several other agreements. The agreements are all pre-printed from the website. You just need to add your own name and information. And most of these agreements you complete and have notarized, which is witnessed and signed by another party. and you only retain those documents in a safe place in your own dwelling. They're never publicly revealed. But the UCC-1 filing, which you can do online and or by certified mail, is a document that you publicly reveal. And after the completion of this prophecy, you have gained your sovereignty, so that if any policeman encounters you, tries to arrest you, any interaction with any court or any government force is null and void. But you have to learn a lot of information to know what that means and what is your proper response and how to react. Doing the paperwork may secure for you a intellectual victory, but if you don't have the knowledge and the resources to know how to act in your new role, you will fail and you will be locked up just as if you didn't have your sovereignty. Okay, that it's recording. Okay.
Who? Okay, there's about 6 forms here, and some of them are basically, like for instance, this common law copyright. They had last year. Common law copyright, and this is also one that has the reference number on it. Now, this is one that you would want to carry around with you. The reason is that could have to be presented somewhere. Most of these forms you wouldn't want to carry with you. They're private. What the common law copyright does is it not only copyrights your name, but let's say they pass a law where you have to give blood DNA or something like that to get a driver's license
or
fingerprint or anything like that. If you've got this stuff copyrighted, it doesn't matter what law they pass, they have to have your permission, because you've got this in an unbreakable, once you do your UCC, that's an unbreakable contract. And you've got that locked in as private. So they would no matter what law passes, how dirty those laws are, they would still have to have your permission if you've got your blood, your DNA, your fingerprints, and all that copyrighted. Does that make sense? That's like my favorite form in this. Is that clip on? Okay. So you're copywriting your straw man's name, your flesh and blood name. You're copywriting any variation of those two.
And if they simply try to send you a citation or something by mail, whatever, they have broken your copyright, which is in public notice.
That's right.
And they're subject to a fine.
That's right. If the IRS sent you a bill with your name after you've copyrighted it, they're subject to a fine. They may not know that, but they'll find out pretty quick. There was a part of this that I wanted to read to you. I don't want to read this whole thing, but there's...
All right, so let me put a little footnote in
okay,
there.
Okay, sure.
Someone has given me some background on law, and here is the way I understand it simply. When you make a claim and present it publicly, and no one rebuts it or challenges it after a period of time, 10 days or whatever, then you have secured the right... and another cannot take it. I think it's sort of like if you were to go to Antarctica and set a flag down there, and you're the first one there and you claim it, it's your claim, unless someone has something preceding it, etc. So when we set all this stuff up, we stand firm if nobody rebuts it in a period of time in the proper fashion. But without setting it up, we're vulnerable.
Go ahead and explain the straw man before I get started here. Explain what the straw man is.
At birth, your parents name you. They use upper and lowercase name letters. It's picked up at the hospital. It's a birth certificate or something like that.
They create a bond with your birth certificate.
Well, but before that, it's not a birth certificate, I think.
Well, what it is, you become
a
corporation.
They convert a certificate of live
birth. Okay, they convert
a certificate.
They convert it. The hospital writes out a certificate of live birth, and at some point, as it moves up to the state house and is recorded in vital records, and then off to Washington or even Puerto Rico, where it's kept in a national database, it's converted from this certificate of live birth to a birth certificate. And at that time, your name is now spelled in all uppercase letters, which is not really you. It's a trust fund that is set up for monitoring you and controlling you throughout your life. Now, the government uses the credit created on the foundation of that trust fund, as I understand it, for their use for your lifetime, and you're paying in and out of it through your income taxes and stuff like that. But if you take possession of your straw man, which is your uppercase name, then all of that benefit and credit becomes your control and for your advantage, as compared to the government or someone else using it without your knowledge.
Okay, and the primary reason that they're creating that straw man is because a corporation can only contract with another corporation. If they didn't create the straw man, they can't charge you taxes. Because you're flesh and blood.
A government or corporation, which is a corporation, cannot contract with an individual living person.
So your straw, yeah.
This fictional corporation, which they refer to you, they can contract with.
See, the right, exactly. They can contract with you through that straw. If you get rid of the straw or take control of that straw, you've deleted that power. Does that make sense? Does everybody understand straw man?
It is a shock.
And 6 months ago, I'd never heard of it. But I'm really pissed off about it now. But anyway, now if you understand straw man, I want to explain to you a couple things on. This is on the copyright notice that I was just explaining to you. This is one of the documents.
One more little footnote.
Okay.
If you ask any lawyer or an accountant, whatever, they will deny this whole thing because the law, the process of law in America is based upon the capitalization of your name and getting you in and out of court and using all these public policies about you. They will not concede that this is a real event, but it's very easy to see once you start studying it. But I mean, high officials and great authorities will deny all this stuff. You have to come to the plate, look at the information yourself, and realize that it's true. I also was shocked and couldn't believe it initially, nor can I find any professional lawyer that generally agrees with this, because their income and livelihood is built on hiding this or not admitting it or not knowing about it.
Okay, well, that's correct. The reason the lawyers, they won't admit to that because their livelihood depends on that straw.
Nor do they have any power over you when this is out.
You can't, do you understand why you never see an illegal alien on Judge Judy? Because they don't have a straw. There's no way they can't take them into court. They don't have a straw. Can't take them in there. Does that make sense?
You never see
Jesus in there because he don't have a straw. What's the point?
And Grima gave us a definition of alien, which I thought was wonderful.
What is it?
Well, an alien is without a lien. A person, whether from outer space or from Mexico, who comes to America and does not have a lien on their head, as all straw men American people have.
Right, that's correct. Okay.
And one of the reasons, why I think you get a lot of negative feedback on that subject, on the straw man, is because if you get rid of your straw, if you successfully get rid of your straw, you have unhooked the umbilical cord of all these powers that be, the IRS, and you've unhooked the umbilical cord that they're screwing with you on. You get rid of the straw, they can't mess with you.
And you're also severing some benefits. You have to let
That's true. You're waiving the benefits, but you need to...
But we think the benefits far excel the benefits you had before.
I want to read you one paragraph on this copyright notice to let you kind of get the idea where this is going. It says here, take note also that common law copyright is claimed by the secured party. That's what you'll be once you get rid of your straw. Including but not restricted or limited to all means personal identification of the debtor, defined as fingerprints, footprints, palm prints, thumbprints, handprints, toe prints, RNA materials, DNA materials, blood, blood fractions, biopsy, surgically removed tissue, body parts, organs, hair, teeth, nails, semen, urine, feces, excrement, other body fluids, other matter. The reason that they've put all this in there is because any of that stuff, if you've had surgery, can be used in this data bank that they're creating. So this here covers it.
From the day we are born, we are told that we have all these authorities around us, professors at universities, corporations, government. But as we learn from Mary Croft in her book, How I Clobbered Every Bureaucracy Known to Man, we have no authorities over us in any regard if that's what we elect to happen. The only authorities who can engage in our life do so when we voluntarily choose and accept them. But we didn't know this before, so we were wandering around in prison all this time. We didn't know.
It's okay. I'll hold it.
That's what Dorothy in Wizard of Oz. You know, she doesn't realize all she has to do is go through three times. Reveals three times, but nobody ever told her.
Exactly.
I mean, it really, the Wizard of Oz is very much relevant to this.
Right.
Even in the characters with the straw man, you know.
A lot of the websites use that as a...
Oh, yeah.
I'll finish reading this, but you understand where it's going. This even copyrights your breath samples, voice print, retinal image, description thereof. Exactly. All records, record numbers, including results recorded and otherwise, any tests performed, materials relating to the debtor, information information pertaining thereto, visual images, retinal scans, photograph, or electronic.
What about going through the airport?
You'll have to give me a day or two on that one. We're still working on. There is a way to do that, but I haven't clobbered that one yet. But anyway, do you see where this is going? And this is one of the six things that we're going to have a reference number in our UCC.
To the document.
Exactly.
And so we hold the document.
Once that's copyrighted. Now let's say Senator so and so goes out and passes a law like Real ID. Okay, and I worked on this for a year and a half, and I was very frustrated because I couldn't get anyone around here. The legislators wouldn't listen. They weren't interested. But this here solves it. If this works the way I think it does, this solves that problem because you have passed that bill for yourself by claiming it in your UCC. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Once it's locked into here, it's law for you. Now, you didn't get it passed in the state, but you got it passed for you. In order for someone to do a retinal scan, they'd have to have your permission. And you can. There's a hell of a fine if they don't. What was it, a million or a billion? I mean, there's something in there. Yeah, there's a hell of a fine. You don't have to impose that fine, but once they know about this, you know, the next time you're at the DMV and you can show them your, you know, there's a hell, you know, and it's notarized. You see what I mean? So that puts up a pretty good wall. And this
you
is just
really
one.
Don't need driver's
license. Oh, absolutely.
No, absolutely not.
Absolutely not.
By doing all this, you're setting yourself up just like a
prince, like the prince,
or a
sovereign.
A
but guess what?
What's the other thing?
As a school teacher, I couldn't do it.
You can. You just need to work out the details.
There's a way. The way it was described to me by Bob, the guy that's given us this material, you can still work. But you have to contract. You can't be an employee. The whole idea of being an employee, see, that Social Security number makes you a government employee. Well, they didn't tell you that when you got yours. Didn't tell me that. I didn't know that. So it makes you a government employee. So you're subject to all these other strings.
Even contract work, you have to give a Social Security number, though, a lot of times.
Yeah.
How can you get
we don't have all the answers. We have some. Let us just tell you what's going on here, and you can decide what you want to do about it. We don't have all the answers.
Let me
make one short mention. Darius was referring to some laws of which we would then be exempt. Lots of people gather up and try to form a new political party or get a candidate in office. They're going to take power politically. We think the system is dead, the political process in America. However, if we individually step away from their power and control, and if many did this, it would be a solution. So rather than trying to tell other people what to do with their lives, Darius and I have chosen what we're going to do with our lives. We think we're going to be successful, and other people might want to follow or pattern themselves. But we don't see standing on the street corner getting signatures for some other people to group together to do something. We're just acting ourselves to free ourselves. And everybody who can do this, but it takes reading and studying.
Now, I think I may have an answer for your question. There's a forum that I just found out about a few months ago called a W8BEN. Never heard of it before. But when you go to fill out an application for a job, they're going to hand you a W-2. And I'll bet you the person that hands you the W-2 doesn't know what a W-8 is. It's a W-8 instead of a W-2. But what it does is exempt you if you fill out a W-8, they probably don't even have one. You probably have to bring your own. But a W-8, they're not allowed to take out taxes on you because you're not under that structure.
I want one.
Yeah. So in other words, I think there is a way. I haven't been down that road yet, so I don't know the details of it. But it is included in this package. So it is. And there are everyone that I've dealt with on this subject are referring to it. So I do believe it's credible.
Mm-hmm.
It's a W-8, and now has anyone here besides me ever heard of a W-8?
No.
I never heard. Okay. Okay, but that's the point. If you don't
need a Social Security number for that.
I don't believe so. No, in fact, you don't need a Social Security anywhere you go. But the only problem is, I don't know, since you really don't. To have a job, you don't have to have a Social Security number.
Well,
They require that, but that's because they're.
Oh,
okay, okay, I got you. Exactly. Okay. Right.
Tax laws, when it comes to employment, they ask the Social Security. But what they're trying to do is establish if you're a taxpayer. If you say I'm exempt from paying taxes, and you have this W8BEN-BEN,
right.
you are filling out an actual form that states that you are eligible to be exempt. And as long as that employer has either a W-2 or a W-4 or a W-8, the employer is protected.
Right.
All they have to have is a form to hire you for whatever reason. Now, a lot of contractors work on 1099. I've worked on it.
Yeah.
Okay. 1099, you still don't have to provide that Social Security number to get the 1099 status, because there you're a contractor, and contractors are trading labor for money, and that is not income. And you know, even the IRS code says labor trading for money is not income. So this form, along with this process, is what sets you up. Essentially, what the whole idea of the, in a nutshell, that I think is a good way to describe it, is we're setting ourselves up with this sovereignty redemption, just like a, what was the term of this?
Diplomat.
As a diplomat. Since we are an alien, we're not of this made-up contraption that they're calling the straw man. So we're getting actual those diplomatic immunities. You've all seen the movies where some guy runs a red light or runs over somebody and he can't get arrested.
Right. Diplomatic immunity.
Yeah.
Diplomatic immunity. Well, this is exactly the same process.
It's the same result.
Same result. Same end result. Right. Because you have set yourself out of the whole system, or what they call the commerce game. And that's what the politicians look at it as, a game, because they're laughing at all of us peons, you know, daily for paying into this and for taking in it whatever way, you know, however they've got us under their thumb.
But see, effectively, when you fill out a W-2 for a job, you're agreeing to be a taxpayer.
Yeah,
but you don't know that.
No.
I've never known that.
You didn't know you had an option.
You didn't know you had an option. Until a few months ago, I'd never heard of a W-8.
Just like when you signed up for your Social Security number originally. I was 14 when I signed up for mine. Well, you can't contract until you're 18.
That's right.
In any state in the union.
That's right.
So just the very fact of the Social Security contract, signing up for that number, voids everything I've ever paid in Social Security all these years.
It voids it because he was too young to
contract. I was too young to be, you know, it didn't matter if my mother was standing there with me. It didn't matter. You know, it's my signature that I entered into a contract with a government entity or quasi-government entity, because Social Security isn't even part of the government. And so they've been defrauding me paycheck after paycheck after paycheck after paycheck. And you've all heard on the news lately, I mean, for the last 6 months, it's been proven now there is no Social Security trust fund. That's just pie in the sky.
Right.
Never has been. They keep using that term, but Dreema, being a stockbroker, can tell you, you know, a real trust fund, there's real money. The Social Security is just a Ponzi scheme.
Looks so, like they're one of the lockbox.
Yeah, there is no trust fund. So they've done one fraud in taking it away from you, and another fraud in calling it a trust fund, and it's not even there.
So okay, do you fill out the papers one per husband and wife, or do you have to fill them out separately? I go by one name, he goes by another name.
My best answer would be that this is done individually.
Mm-hmm. So he does
his own.
I do mine.
Right. Okay. Right. And if you have children, I don't know how to do it. I don't have children, but if you have children, you can include them in one of these forms, and it exempts them as well. Even though they have not filled theirs out, they're covered under you.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. I love that.
I don't have children, but I'm sure there are.
The lady in Oregon that I've been calling for questions and answers, her daughter was married to a Mormon, and after their divorce, the Mormon church came in and helped him take the children away from her. She is now helping her daughter set up this whole system. As soon as she becomes sovereign, the state has to give her children
back
to her.
Right.
Because she, by her drawing out of the system, then she brings her children along with her.
That's right.
So she will get her kids back.
It will be automatic. There won't be any way to contest it, because
Well, they keep this out of the media, don't they?
Because the daughter with the children will now be in a superior position over everybody.
Right. Right. Huh.
And that's why this works on traffic stops, on taxes, on dealing with the utility companies.
A court case against
court
you.
Cases, judgments.
Well, it just voids it. And the whole idea behind it, once you've done this, is to be able to have the knowledge to back it up. Does that make sense? In other words, when a cop pulls you over, you're not in a fight with him. You show him the paperwork very politely, very kindly. If he doesn't understand it, there's instructions there for him to call in to his superior. At some point in the game, even if you get arrested, once you're in court, you're gone. Because the judge is going to know what this is about. If the cop doesn't, the judge will. The judge knows what this is. So you beat the game. Once you see what I'm saying?
Several years ago,
I'd turn loose a lot of drug dealers.
Right. But the guy, Robert, that we had a conversation with a few days ago, a few times, he's telling us, now this isn't a guarantee that you're not going to get pulled over or arrested. He said, but once you've got this in place, you've got them under checkmate, but they may not know it right away. But see, there's also a part of your agreement here, your security agreement, is there's actually a fine in there if they handcuff you, and it's pretty hefty. $20,000 an hour. It's pretty hefty. So once they get stung once, if the same cop's going to remember that, I think. I would remember that, $20,000. Yeah, if they handcuff you. Now, if they don't handcuff you, if they don't take you in, it's $2,000 an hour. So the fee schedule came into existence. I was telling Ted a couple days ago, I was a little confused by the fee schedule and how to enforce it. That just didn't make sense to me. It sounded a little pie in the sky. But Robert Menard explains it like this. The fee schedule was based on the premise that they don't have a right to pull you over to start with. And once you've served that notice that I showed you, you've served it. So they have a responsibility now to prove that they have you pulled over legally, or your fee schedule starts. And the way you, does that make sense? They're on your time now. You've got me pulled over. And effectively, when those lights go on, you're under arrest because you're not free to go. So you're effectively under arrest. Once they've read that notice, I think he says to allow about 10 minutes. Once they've read that notice, your fee schedule starts. If they don't let you go right away, the way that you enforce that fee schedule is you have three other secured parties, and you want to explain that part, that you know what that better than I do. He'll explain that part to you.
I'm just guessing that some who may hear that, or even hear today, may not grasp how incredible this is. But this sovereignty ejects you from all jurisdictions. Nevertheless, if I have a claim against somebody, or if I have anything I would like legal action on, I can notify the offending party, a policeman, a neighbor, whomever, in a written letter, a certified notarized letter. I can give them a complaint, and I can give it to them three times, presenting it in person, serving it, or by mail, with a 10-day minimum window in between. And at the conclusion of that, I can gather my paperwork and find three other sovereigns or creditors, have a meeting, let them see my paperwork, and if they agree I've done everything proper, then they as a unit confirm my action, and now I have secured a judgment enforceable against the one accused for whatever fine is applicable, and I can take it to the sheriff. I'm not sure who enforces the judgment for you, but three lay people like us, three people who become sovereigns or creditors, become your international jury under the UCC Uniform Commercial Code, and they confirm your actions have been appropriate, and then you win a judgment against the other without ever involving a lawyer, a court, or a judge. That is the power of a sovereign. It's incredible to think all those Ivy League people, all those titled people, all those accolades they have, you can surpass all of that. But again, I remind you, these are not just papers. These papers are the vehicle where you're implementing a frame of reference, a knowledge set. You have to have the knowledge set to win in this. The paperwork doesn't do it. You need to know what this is about, you need to know what the papers mean, and you need to be able to be live on your feet when you talk to somebody, a policeman or a judge, what's going on. Because if they sense you don't really understand they'll sweep you up in their net again. You haven't lost because they won. You lost because you didn't know who you are. Right. As Mary Croft says, remember who you are.
There was one thing I wanted to add to that. Now, do you understand about the three sovereigns making law? In other words, once you have three secured parties that have brought this judgment against the police officer,
you,
we'll say.
You notify the policeman you've got a judgment against him or your neighbor that they're driving through their yard or whatever. And you present that three times with a minimum of 10 days apart in a recordable method like certified mail or presenting it to them, or somebody notice of service. Then you take your documents to your jury of three creditors. They review them and find them in order, or if there's a correction to make, you make the correction. But then that jury of three sovereigns is an international win against that party, and then you take it to the sheriff to sell their car.
It's just as enforceable as anything the judge, the sheriff, or the magistrate.
No one can
reverse that. Nobody can reverse it. But you never have to involve a court or anyone like that.
What I think is the beauty of this is, if I were to write a letter to my neighbor or whatever, and they see a letter from me, I think they would throw it away. And I've done this a couple of times with some particular people I'm working on, but why would they pay me any attention? Now all I need to do is find three creditors to confirm my actions are true and accurate. And again, I recommend David Everett Robertson's several books, including How to Gain Your Christian Name Back and another New Beginning
Study
Guide. Anyway, it's a 200-page book, and his website is maine-patriot.com. Anyway, his books give you a much more full understanding of what this is all about. You need to have the understanding. The paperwork doesn't do it, but the pair together gives you an incredible strength.
Now, in the event that you take that judgment that you've just gotten with three creditors and never involved a court, you take that to a sheriff. If, for some reason, the sheriff is not up on this and he doesn't enforce it, guess who gets served next?
The sheriff.
Oh, yeah. He's the next one in line. So at some point, you've got him by the...
Yeah. Oh, boy, they don't want this out. How'd you find out about this?
Well, this has been around for years.
Yeah. This has been a mess for years.
Yeah.
Okay. Several years ago, I involved Ted and Ollie into getting our notary. And... in West Virginia, the notary is right below the magistrate. So you're conducting law, you're conducting court in a certain respect. Of course, if Darius witnesses your paperwork and signs these witnesses, that's one thing. But the notary has the official stamp and seal, and so his word is taken above just an individual. So we're doing this in steps. So this is just going one step further in getting this sovereignty and stepping out of the whole system because it's a higher form of authority. That would be great. If more of us were notaries, that would really help.
Grandma, Ollie, Ted, Dan, and I are notaries, and I believe that Darius plans to be.
I'm going
to
do it real quick.
And part of what this is very similar to is what they call the notatorial process. Where the notary actually writes the letter for you for somebody that owes you money or somebody that's done damage to your property or whatever. And as long as the notary gives his statement saying, I sent this in Melba's behalf, I did not get a response, I sent it again, here's the registered letter number and all that, and after the third time, then that notatorial process becomes in effect the judgment. And that one doesn't include three other people. Now another thing with notaries, something where Ted and I have researched about stamps. Anytime you sign your name, if you just buy a little 3-cent postage stamp and put it at the end of your signature on any official document and you just happen to sign your name just off the edge onto that stamp, now guess who you've got on your side? You've got the Postmaster General of the United States on your side on this document that you just signed. So there's all kinds of ways to add extra authority to whatever we're doing, whether it be signing, notarizing, or putting a stamp on it.
But this seems like this is very plausible because the diplomats are over here all the time and they get away with anything.
Right.
So all we're doing is just making ourselves diplomats.
Now, as a sovereign, we should not do three things. arms, but what, you know,
basically it puts you back under common law. The three things that, you know, no loss, harm, or injury to another person. So effectively, once you have this process done, if you don't do loss, harm, or injury to a person, you've got the paperwork here to back up. You're under common law again.
So one could only bring a claim against you if you hurt them or damaged their property or restricted their rights.
In other words,
not wearing a seatbelt or you run
a light out on a car, that don't cut it.
I've been pulled over 3 times for no seatbelt.
But see, that don't.
I lived in California and I was like, yeah.
That's right.
I don't like this concept about making me wear a seatbelt.
But it's fraudulent, and believe it or not, I know the man. I was telling him on the way up here, I've known the man for 35 years, went to church with him, that got that clicket or ticket in West Virginia. He's a good guy. He just misguided. His name's Chuck Sadler. He's a good guy. Real sweet guy.
Well,
but he's
I just thought, you know, this is my right. If I choose to drive this vehicle,
right,
don't wear a seatbelt, because...
But that's
the big boobs, they're a pain in the rear.
These are regulations that really has nothing to do with the sovereign. And I'm not telling you not to wear seat belts or have lights out in your car. But this puts it back this puts the decision back on you. Now the next thing here is called a commercial security agreement. And this is the one where you're rescinding. There's a few things in here that's rescinding, but right here you can see the debtor and the straw man's name under there and your old address. Okay, here you've got secured party, which is your same name that's not in capital letters, and you're putting in my case, I'm going to go back to rural route. Okay, I'm going to establish a rural route. I'm not moving my house to a rural route. My mailbox is going to have rural route on it. That takes you out of the tax zone. That's going to save me about $600 a year. You see that? And that's all done here on a UCC that can't be broken. So that gets rid of your property taxes.
I can see that.
Isn't that amazing?
Anytime you use the two-letter designation of the state and you use the zip code, you are volunteering, again, just like signing up for taxes and filling out the W-2, you're volunteering all your mail, all your correspondence, all your everything to the federal zone. There's no law that says you have to use the zip code on any letter. But if you do use it, then you're
surrendering your rights.
Surrendering your right to that federal zone.
I have successfully mailed 1,300 letters at 3 cents each by spelling out the states and not using zips and spelling out all words. It's effective and it works. I wanted to mention, we've used the word here, common law. If you ask any lawyer, probably a judge as well, I'm sure that any authority you might ask, is common law still in place in America? No.
Right.
Codes and statutes are what they enforce and of which they have power over. But if you learn how to use common law, it is the only thing that can affect your life. And of course they'll deny it because it just removes them from any involvement and control over you. They don't want you to know that. They'll deny it forever.
You two tried to do a UCC about 2.5 years ago, and
we're
threatened with a $500 fine. Why? Because that scared them off.
Yeah.
That scared them off. Well,
and they didn't want them to do it.
They don't want you doing it because and besides that, once you've done this, they can't collect the fine anyway.
And a simple
how would
Google,
they collect that
a
from a sovereign?
Google search of universal commercial code will tell you that it is the modern day common law. So.
It's codification of 2,000 years of law.
Yeah, it's right there in their own paperwork, but they don't want you to know that. And like I say, the judge or any lawyer is not going to admit it because he wants your money and he wants to control you.
Yeah, they'd be.
His court.
Why would they tell you?
Exactly.
In his court system, right?
But
you guys aware that the state of Nevada is the only state that does not share information with the IRS?
Yeah.
I think Wyoming has joined that way. I'm not sure.
But Nevada, because
Nevada,
you can incorporate in Nevada.
Right.
Right.
And it's I've heard this for years. You know, but Nevada's the only state. Yeah, if Wyoming joined, good. You know. Mm-hmm.
Now this next document is basically, like I said, there's six of them, and this next document is basically just a redefining, statutory declaration of true name and notice and declaration of law and jurisdiction. And basically,
I'll just give you a couple lines of it. Now, keep in mind, by now, you're the secured party. Okay, you've already established that. I, the secured party, and your name there, sovereign and creditor, natural and free man on the land. Now, let me stop a minute and explain that. Admiralty law, even though we're on the land, if there was a court here and we're in the court, they have you're under admiralty jurisdiction because of that flag with the. Okay, that's another trick.
The flags in all courtrooms, municipal, all courtrooms that I can think of in America, I believe the state and the United States flag are surrounded by a gold
fringe,
which is not the original United States flag. It is the flag under maritime law, under admiralty law. And that's your symbol. When you go into that courtroom, you've been told by that flag. But if you ask anybody or whatnot, it just is not easy for them to tell you. They say it's to keep it from unraveling.
Yeah,
they'll say anything but tell you the truth.
And guess what? The churches have it too.
The churches have it too,
right. Exactly. If you will Google search admiralty law, you'll also find out America is the only country in the whole world that has admiralty courts inland dealing with everything except for the ocean.
And you can also Google gold fringe flag. Yep. Same thing. Go ahead.
Please. So, but that's one of the reasons why these documents. See, when you first see that little phrase, it kind of a few weeks ago when I saw that, I was like, "Free man on the land." That just seems strange. But once you understand the background, you're establishing the fact that you're not under admiralty jurisdiction. You're common law. And it says, "Do solemnly and sincerely declare the following affidavit of truth: I'm a secured party, sentient, natural born, adult, living man." With the given name, my case, Cecil Barnes, I hold the family name of Barnes. This is my lawful name and birthright. I am who I say I am, not who or what the government says I am, statutory, legislative, policy enforcer, corporate administrator, or government documents say that I am. So in other words, you're rescinding that straw man with this document. And as you can see these red places here? The reason that he did this on here, can everybody see that? This looks kind of crazy too at first sight, but what you're doing is you're putting in any variation of that straw. Like in some cases, I'll get an electric bill that says Cecil Barnes. Then I'll get a water bill that says Cecil Darius Barnes. So that's another trick. You see what I'm saying? If so this here gives you the opportunity to rescind all that, any variation of it. And then this document is notarized, I believe. Yep.
Yep.
There's your notary on the fourth page of it.
And basically, a notary is an independent witness confirming that signature is you.
Right.
They're not really saying anything about the document. They're only confirming that signature is the one.
But, you're acting as a representative for the the state, and you're because you have taken the notary oath that you're going to do this truthfully and honestly and not be bought off or whatever.
Like everybody else.
Essentially, what we're doing with this whole process.